welcome back to Here's What I Don't Mini Get, your mini-sode for the month of February in the year of our Lord 2021. Of course, our Lord being WandaVision.
Ugh, no, please, please no.
Yeah.
Just finished watching WandaVision episode 7. We're getting this one done a little bit ahead of time. The bonus episode will be late, but this will be ahead of time. But now we'll be totally caught up and on a somewhat regular schedule again. Feels like we've been playing catch up all year.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we have.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's finally warmed up in Tulsa. I don't want to talk about it too much because we have the regular episode due later today. But
yeah.
It's finally warmed up again. And I found both my balls again. So I'm pretty pleased about that.
Good.
I was worried that maybe I was going to freeze them off.
Uh-huh.
Fucking miserably cold. Sure, you couldn't go walk across the lake today.
No.
I should have gone back out there while it was still
pretty cold. I could tell you to go walk across the lake today.
Yeah. I could tell you to go walk across the lake. Punk bitch. Well, should we jump into some mini issues?
Yeah, that's it.
Speaking of the weather, here's what I don't mini get. The dirt, the winter dirt on your car. Winter dirt on the car.
Winter dirt in general, I think, is terrible.
It just gets stuck on everything, and there's no point washing any of it off because you know it's coming around again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've still got about a week before I can wax the car again.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of keep asking myself, is it even worth it? Do I even want to go get the car washed and wax it and do all that work? Because what happens if there's another, like, late in the year snow? I think it could snow up all the way up until early April here in Oklahoma. And it just gets on everything. And I saw a bunch of cars driving today that they had all hit the car wash and their cars look nice and clean. And I feel bad leaving my car dirty because it doesn't look so much nicer when it's clean. But at the same time, I don't like to go to the drive-through car washes because they're bad. It's bad for your paint. Mm-hmm. I can't go to a touchless car wash because the pressure is so high that it will blast through the seals
top.
The top and leak into the car, which is not good. So I'm stuck with either washing it with a bucket and a hose at home, which I can't do here because we don't have a hose. So I have to go buy a hose and
just get a big cup.
Well, yeah, but I still need a hose.
Get a big cup.
A big cup is a bucket. I have buckets, but I need is a hose.
For the pressure.
To be able to rinse the car off. Yeah. So I'm stuck going to one of those like coin-op ones where you get the pressure washer stick. And you wash the car yourself. But those are always, they're right at about the same price as a drive-through, and they work okay, but
have to do all the work?
Well, I have to do the work anyway. But at least in my own driveway, there's no additional cost.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to miss something because I'm trying to get everything done in my allotment of quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to one in Florida when I got down to Florida for Road Rage Tampa, and you know, the car was filthy from driving all through the day and night, and I wanted a nice clean car for being palling around in Tampa. So I stopped at this place and washed the car, and it was one of the better coin-op places I've ever been to do the power wash with your hand. But with that caveat that it cost me about $15, and normally it cost me $10 in Tulsa. So I was kind of peeved about that.
That must be a price of living thing, right?
Probably. It's probably a weird inflationary thing between here and there.
I think just like in general, the whole cars mess up snow.
Yes.
Snow messes up cars, of course. But like you have a freshly fallen snow, like just the pure blinding whiteness of it all, quickly turns into this gray nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like it covers the streets.
Well, even just shoveling it up, like I shoveled the driveway here, and it's this pure white snow, and I feel bad about it, but I'm flinging it off into the side into the yard, and it's just this brown nasty snow now. The other problem with it is that it does get on everything. You end up tracking into the house.
Yep.
My boots have stains. I need to wash my boots off because I've still got like buildup of the different stuff people put down places to try and get rid of the snow. And it also makes me wonder, why don't we have a, why are we still using the same methods for removing snow that we were using 200 years ago? And we haven't come up with a better method than fucking putting a shovel on the front of a truck and driving real fast. Really?
Yeah.
Because that method sucks dick.
Yeah.
It's great for the it's not even great to go right behind that guy because it's not like the shovel makes a nice clean path. What it does is it just creates a flat spot,
yes,
and the flat spot has packed down slush, which then becomes nice hard ice later. And whatever it passes becomes an impacted wall. So if they're if they're plowing the main street, now in order to get out of your neighborhood, there's 2 feet of snow when there's 8 inches of snow.
Yes.
And I was looking, there's a place in, I think, Boston Airport. They have a big jet engine strapped to a truck that they drive around and just blast the heat down to evaporate the snow quickly.
I was thinking, like, can't we like put something on a truck?
To melt this shit?
To melt it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is that then it builds up in the street water runoff pipes. Snow does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was driving around a couple days ago and the melting had started, but it had only started on the surface level. So there were huge puddles at the drainage holes because down in the drainage hole, there's a bunch of snow packed in there that won't melt. It's a whole infrastructure wide thing to plan for this shit, and nobody's doing it. That is my point. And so the result is that you end up with this like nasty clod of dirty frozen mush out the back of your wheel well, plastered to the side of your car. It's all the other cars are flinging up on you, and even like your garage parker, right? So your car doesn't get covered in snow. But you leave and you drive around, and even on a day it snowed 2 days ago, right? It's still cold. The snow's sitting around. They shoveled everything. They plowed the highways. There's still a film of moisture and residue and shit that's on the street.
Yeah.
So just you driving on the highway, the guy in front of you is kicking up a mist that you're now driving through and your car is filthy. It's all over your shoes. It's all over the house. It's all over everything. It's fucking miserable. And I hate it. I hate that everyone's driving these dirty ass cars around. A car wash, because a rainstorm hits, right? And unless you park in an area where, for whatever reason, your car is directly exposed to dirt, it rains, and the rain is over, and the worst maybe you have to deal with is water spots.
Your water spots.
Where some dust settled in there. But if you have a good wax on there, it just beads right off, and you're fine.
Yeah.
But snow, even I think just your car, having your car parked on... It's going to come out dirty. It's miserable, man. I hate having a dirty car, and it's weird. There are like non-aerodynamic lines on my car where you can tell there'll be extra buildup in those areas from driving. Mm-hmm. It gets all over my headlights. I need to go out there with like a Windex and a rag and just wipe the headlights clean because they're starting to get so much filth buildup that they're losing their brightness. It's ridiculous. It's like, it's not that they're losing their brightness, it's that it's diffusing it so much that I don't have a directional beam. I just kind of have this glow that comes out of the front of the car. I hate it.
We'll talk about it more on the regular episode, but I am also tired of the snow.
Yeah. Well, what's your first mini issue this month, Tim?
Here's what I don't mini get. Good cover, bad content.
Like the Nine Inch Nails version of Hurt?
That's not a cover.
Isn't it?
No,
it's not. Isn't it?
Also, I do not like that version of that song. I've been doing... I don't know what it was, but somehow the YouTube algorithm got me in this hard, like bluesy hard rock, and then that went into.
I thought you were gonna say a hard R.
No, it went like a bluesy hard rock, like indie album stuff, which somehow morphed into like a stoner doom metal thing, and I've been, and I really don't care for that for the most part.
Yeah.
Or at least I'm very picky about it. Cause I've done this before. You see an album cover, or you see some sort of imagery from a band, and you're like, man, that looks really cool. And then you click play and you're like, it doesn't sound cool.
Oh, so when you say cover, you mean
like album
cover.
Yeah.
An anal bum cover, if you will.
An anal bum cover, yes. But yeah, like I'll see, you'll see imagery. Sometimes it's not just the cover, it's maybe their logo or what the music video look, the thumbnail for the music video looks like. You're like, I like the general aesthetic of this thing. And then you click in and like, yeah, that's not for me, man. So I'm very picky about my doom metal. Cause a lot of it I've tried and have not liked at all.
Yeah.
But for some reason the YouTube algorithm got me on this, just like a string of stuff where I'm just like, that is great. That is great. I bought this album, which I haven't bought an album in quite a while.
Yeah.
Cause everything's just on Spotify these days and they weren't. And I was like, shit, I'll buy it on Bandcamp. But in between that, it has been like, oh, let me go to Bandcamp and like find, like, you know, this album is on this label and they just do this one genre. So let me check out this other stuff. And like, oh, that looks so cool. And click play. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not into that, man.
I think this happened to us a lot as kids with books.
Yeah.
Especially when early on in reading.
Yeah.
Where I go, okay, this is going to be interesting. I remember in the sixth grade reading All's Quiet on the Western Front because it had this awesome, it was a sketched drawing of these guys like charging into battle. And it looked really interesting. And then I read the book and it turned out to be about a bunch of guys sitting in foxholes just like waxing poetic about the futility of life.
Yeah.
And it's one of the classics, whatever you want to call it, where you have to read it for school or whatever. But I remember thinking this image that's not even in my head that you're conjuring with what's on the cover. So evocative. And then the content did not live up to it. And I think that happened a lot with different books. I mean, there were books that I bought, like Animorphs.
Yeah, I had some Animorph books.
Bought some Animorph books. It's like, wow, this cover looks awesome, but then you read it and it's garbage. Or similarly, another great example of children's literature that does this. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Goosebumps?
Goosebumps is correct, Tim. They would have some of the art on the covers of those would be
dope.
One of my favorites that I read multiple times. Uh-huh. Say Cheese and Die.
Oh yes, the
picture of the barbecue and everyone's family, fucking like, on skeletons. Vacation. Yeah. And then you read it, and at no point does what's on the cover enter into the book. Like you take a picture and something bad happens.
Yes,
but it's not. It's
the covers were either like really dopey and silly.
Yes.
Or way too cool and scary for what the book was really about.
There was one, I think it was like Slayaway Camp it was a bunch of like Boy Scout uniforms that were all empty walking in a march. And the guy at the end is a human.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives away the plot of the book.
Sure.
I don't remember
what
the name of that was.
I remember it was, Curse of the Mummy's Tomb.
Yeah.
The mummy on that cover was awesome. Book, not so much.
Stay Out of the Basement, that like weird, grotesque green hand coming through the door.
That's a great cover.
That's
a great cover.
Not exactly what happens in the book, but
That ends up being like about like flower people or something.
Yeah, the dad is a flower man.
Yeah.
And, but that cover made me want to read the book.
Yes. Yeah.
As with most of those. I don't know if that happens to me as much with music.
The Wax Museum one. For me, a lot of it, especially so specifically with doom metal is just imagine Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Doom metal. Most doom metal is Black Sabbath worship. So with me, with doom metal, it's a vocals thing. Right, because I know the guitars and the bass and the drums, if they've got to a point where they're putting an album out with a somewhat professionally done album, you know,
they're going to have the ability to play.
Right, exactly, right. So for me, it's always the vocals, at least in that genre. And I was just a couple of days ago, I saw this thing, and it was just, it was on YouTube, and I clicked it, and it was an album, and man, their logo was awesome. And, it almost looked like, something from a prog album. And I clicked it, and, you know, they start playing, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And then the guy starts singing, and like, you can't tell the difference, which you usually can't tell the difference between like a British singer and an American singer
mm-hmm.
when they sing English.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really tell a difference in, other people that natively speak other languages when they sing in English.
Yeah.
And it was whatever, I don't know where he was from, but it wasn't doing it.
I think, speaking of YouTube, another great example of this is the way YouTube thumbnails. You can read dozens of articles about the way to create your thumbnail to draw
the most amount of clicks.
Even if it has absolutely nothing to do with your video. I watched this whole video a couple weeks ago that was why you should never, in big letters, put LEDs in your car for lighting. And I thought, this guy has information for me that I need to know so that I can make an informed decision as a consumer. And it's just this guy, he's like in his garage, he's like, I wouldn't buy LEDs because if you look at this, this is a light. This is a light bulb, and then this is an LED. You see how they're different, right? But they're kind of the same. And so the thing is that LEDs generate heat, and this doesn't have a way to dissipate heat. There's no heat sinks on here. So I'm going to go ahead and put all these LED light bulbs into my car, and you're going to watch that.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, I'm going to say, I don't know about this. It makes my car look great. And then the end of the video is like, that was just you fucking changing light bulbs. Uh-huh. That had nothing. There was no consumer.
Yeah.
Why did you make that the title? It wasn't like at the bottom where it's like, oh yeah, I did this. And then 6 months later, all of these light bulbs burnt out basically in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was just that guy getting clicks and I was pissed. And so what I've been doing is when there are guys that do that shit. Scotty Kilmer does this, speaking of cars, where he'll be like, the headline will be one thing and the video is just a 12-minute thing of him rambling on and on and on and on, and there'll be that little, the thumbnail thing that makes you want to click is 1/10 of a second of the video. I hate it because Tony Frank the Movies does this with his thumbnails. His thumbnails are like, I know why he does it, but they give me cancer.
Sure, sure.
To look at them and go.
It's him going, whoa!
And then like big arrows are garbage?
Uh-huh.
Great? Question mark? And it's just to drive people to go like, Ghostbusters 2 isn't terrible. Oh, I'm going to watch this whole 2-hour video for some reason. YouTube has really made the divide between cover and content so great.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
One bad YouTube video, though. You put out one bad YouTube video, I'll never fucking watch you again.
You got a one-and-done policy.
I do.
Because there's so much stuff out there. I mean, there's no point
10 million YouTube channels. I could rather watch all that shit. The Matt Pat guy, he did a video with fucking Anthony Fauci that popped up. And I was like, are you fucking for real? Anthony Fauci is going on fucking YouTuber streams to tell us why we need to wear masks.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, never fucking watching one of this guy's videos ever again. Not one of his fucking channels. Fuck that guy into the moon. You're going to be part of the fucking propaganda machine. You can blow me. Suck my dick. And if you ask me to subscribe, I'm blocking your channel. So that's why I don't watch YouTube. I blocked all the channels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good issue. That's a good mini issue. And that brings us to the middle of our episode, which means it's time to just say thank you to all of our patrons this month for supporting the show. You're keeping the show going, and we hope you enjoy all this extra content we're trying to put out. If you're just a $1 supporter, you should consider upping your support because there's a lot more to listen to on the other tiers. If you like these mini-sodes, you'll probably like our bonus episodes where instead of bitching and moaning about how annoying everyone on YouTube is for 35 minutes... We talk about how much we love things like Red Letter Media and the Chooper.
the Chooper's going to get you.
The recent Red Letter Media video that came out was pretty good. That's one thing a lot of these YouTubers, right? They go like, my videos come out every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday on my website. There's polls and yada, yada, yada. Red Letter Media is just like, I turn on the TV and it goes, Red Letter Media uploaded a new video like 4 hours ago. Yeah.
Yep.
Always, I'm always excited.
Always.
Because the thumbnails aren't stupid.
Yep.
I'm ready. And that's a lot like this episode, this series, except. We are on a somewhat regular schedule for our stuff, but then every so often we'll do a before and after of a movie never heard of, like Rhinestone, and it becomes a beloved cult classic.
Yeah.
So we do thank you everybody. I would say you bought me Rhinestone this month, but Amazon bought me Rhinestone because they refunded my purchase, but still delivered the DVD. So I now own Rhinestone on DVD. So if they ever take out the internet, I can still watch the greatest film of all time.
I ordered my copy of Good Burger on Blu-ray as soon as it was available on Amazon.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be here last Tuesday.
Of course, Tim. Due to the unprecedented circumstances of China virus and snow, we are unable to get your package to you in a reasonable amount of time.
Yep.
You could have just gone to Best Buy at this point.
I could have. Yeah.
Did you file for a refund?
I can't yet, but I think it's supposed to come today, but I will definitely file for a refund. I'm not.
Yeah. So my DVD was supposed to be here on a Saturday. Believe it. Yeah. No, it wasn't Saturday. It was supposed to be here on Monday. And then, no, it's supposed to be here on Saturday, and then it didn't show up on Monday.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then it said I could file for a refund on Monday, and Monday at when, or I could file for a refund on Wednesday. So Wednesday I filed for the refund. I clicked the button to file for the refund. I said, no, just go ahead and wait till Saturday. And I'm like, fuck you. You don't get to tell me to wait 3 days. And then when you fuck that up, tell me to wait for another 3 days. So I started to chat and got them to give me a refund. And I thought they'd just cancel the order and I'd go order it from someone who wasn't Amazon. Fucking next day, the order showed up. I'm like, all right, well, fuck you guys.
It already shipped. They can't say, hey, don't ship.
They're the shipper, though. That was what pissed me off was they are the shipper. It was in a truck, on a truck, headed to... from Oklahoma City to Tulsa on Friday. And then it just disappeared off the face of the planet for 6 days. Huh. Like they just, I got to drive 2 hours. I can't drive 2 hours on a turnpike that's completely paved all the time. Cause that's how they pretend that they still need to get paid. No, this will never work.
Yeah. So mine was supposed to get here last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Didn't show up Tuesday. And then it was like, oh, it'll be here Thursday. Fat chance of that happening. Thursday didn't show up. Like, okay, well, it's not snowing anymore. Friday it'll show up. Didn't show up Friday. And then I get an email from UPS. Apparently UPS was the shipper on this one. And because it didn't come here Friday.
Can't come Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit pisses me off. Yeah. If you guys can't do your job on Friday, then you fucking get someone up and send them in.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous that these companies still don't deliver on Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, you're giving time. Hire more drivers. 40 million people are unemployed. Hire more drivers.
Plenty of dudes that will
buy
gladly work on weekends.
More trucks.
Yeah.
Hire more drivers. Have some guys that work Monday through Saturday or Tuesday through Saturday, and some guys that work Sunday through Thursday. Yeah. Boom. I just solved all of your shipping problems. There are a few deliveries on Saturdays and Sundays, so you work with half a shift. But all the rest of the days of the week, Tuesday through Friday, you've got five people work, or Tuesday through Thursday, you've got two shifts of people delivering stuff.
And it's
lightning
not,
fast.
And
deliveries.
It's not like it's not like there's been a recession, people ordering things from online.
No. No, it's only gonna continue to get bigger.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to some mini issues, Tim. Here's what I don't mini get. Doritos. Can you think of a more vile chip?
I don't mind a Dorito. But no. I will never seek one out if there are other options available.
Yeah. I Don't care for Doritos, number one. But the other thing that I hate about Doritos is I hate Doritos fans. Where they're like, oh, Cool Ranch Doritos, those are the best ones. Like, no, it's lime jalapeno chipotle. That's the best Dorito. Boy. Like, you know what? We all know what the best Doritos is. It's just regular tortilla chips, you fucking retard. Tim, do you know why we have Doritos?
Why?
Disneyland. At Disneyland, they serve nachos every day, fresh nachos. Yeah. They made the chips. They made the nachos. Uh-huh. At the end of the day, they got all these nachos. They got to just throw them out.
Okay.
And one guy was like, what if instead of throwing out these stale, day-old chips, we covered them in powdered cheese and sold them again? And thus, the Doritos was born. You're eating stale tortilla chips, you fucking retard. they churched up with a cheesy coating or a Cool Ranch. What even is a Cool Ranch? You can't get a Cool Ranch anything else.
Do you know what Cool Ranch is called in other countries? It's called something different.
Antifreeze flavor?
Because they don't have ranch.
What do they have?
Other things that aren't ranch, because ranch is
American. What do they have? What's the flavor called?
Oh, it's Cool American.
Yeah, sounds about right. They are just a vastly inferior chip. One thing that I hate about Doritos, Cheetos, the Sun chips that are coated in shit for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows the best Sun chip is the original.
Sure.
And they make all these other ones where it's like, oh, this is cheddar Sun. And for whatever fucking reason, I can't just get Sun chips in a gas station.
No, it's always Harvest Cheddar.
It's always
cheddar.
Fucking Harvest Cheddar or Sour Creamy Onion or something else.
Tomato and basil.
But nobody wants those. There's a reason why they come in the variety bag with, you know, that's 12 regulars and then three cheddar, three sour cream and onion, and three tomato basil. It's because they got to get rid of those other chips. Fucking put the real Sun chips in the store. I hate all those coated ones because then you've got shit on your hands. You can't just like eat a handful of chips and then go about your day.
No.
Because you have this layer of things of shit on your hands you have to go wash off unless you're an or animal and lick it off. Yeah. But then you have saliva all over your fingers and you're just touching shit. It's gross.
Yeah.
Give me a regular chip. Give me a regular tortilla chip. Give me a regular Sun chip. If I want to add a flavor to something that I'm consuming just to eat carbohydrates, put it in a goddamn cracker. Because you mix it into the batter, and you cook the fucking cracker.
Like a chicken and a biscuit.
Like a chicken and a biscuit.
But even that has some sort of powder on it.
Like Triscuit,
I think.
Right?
Triscuits are great.
Or wheat thins.
I like a wheat thin.
Yeah. Crush the flavor up, put it in the batter, make the thing, put some salt on it. Salt particles don't stick to your hands the way the powdered cheese does. Yeah. Or powdered donuts. I don't like stuff on my hands. I don't like to have my hands covered in stuff.
Yeah, it's a running, it's one of your things.
Yes. That's why when I'm cooking, a lot of times I wear gloves, not because of food health, because I don't like to touch things.
Yeah.
It's why when I'm working on the car, sometimes I'll wear gloves, not always, but a lot of times, multiple times during the process of working on the car, I will pull out the goop and coat my hands and clean it all the grease and oil off because I don't know why, but I can't handle my hands being dirty with grime.
Yeah.
And Doritos are just grime in the form of food.
I wonder why they can't bake the cheese and stuff into the tortilla chip.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Uh-huh. I wish they'd just stop making them, and I wish people would stop buying them. I wish people would stop pretending like they're a good chip when you have, like, Ruffles around.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, there's a flavor that I haven't run into very often, and it's a Lay's. It's a weird offshoot that I've only seen, like, in a Subway before. It's like a waffle chip.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
No.
It's a waffle chip, which is much better than a waffle fry.
Uh-huh.
Because the weave is much tighter.
Yeah.
It has to be to hold up in a bag. It was aged cheddar and black pepper.
It was gross.
Delicious.
I don't know. I don't really like a lot of chips. I mostly like tortilla chips and Sun Chips. Mm-hmm. But Sun Chips are basically Triscuits. I mean, they're just a wheat chip that's pressed and then baked.
Triscuits are much more of a cracker, though.
That's what I'm saying, is that Sun Chips are only barely chips. They're closer to cracker, in my opinion, than they are to chips.
I would say that about a wheat, then.
I would say on a scale.
Sure.
It's Sun Chip, wheat thin, Triscuit.
Yeah.
If you're going for wheat, chips, crackers,
yeah,
that's where you are. But if I'm comparing, I'm much more likely to compare those into a group. Like if you just put them in front of, if you say you take a kid who's never had them before,
yeah.
And you go, all right, I want you to sort all these. You give them like a Funyun and a Munchos and some Lays and some Ruffles.
Bugles.
And Bugles. And
I like a Bugles.
Cheez-Its and Doritos, tortilla chips.
Yeah.
Sun Chips, Triscuits, Wheat Thins. And you go, all right, I want you to organize these into groups. You're probably going to get them based on shape because kids are stupid.
Sure.
But then if you said, like, okay, I want you to organize them based on what you think they're made out of, they'd be like, all right, these are all wheat and they're crackers.
Yes.
This Bugles over here in the trash pile. Just slide it right off the edge of the table into a dumpster under fake women nails. These Lay's Ruffles, those obviously go together. This Doritos goes with this tortilla chip. These go in the chips, the grater. It's like the tree of life, the tree of snacks.
Sure. Where does the Funyuns go?
That's Funyuns and Nut Munchos go next to each other because they're big, light, and airy, but we have no idea what they're in relation to, what they're made out of, or how they even exist.
Well, I would put them in the same category as a Cheeto Puff, a puffed Cheeto.
Fair point.
They're puffed corn snacks.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my issue. Doritos. Don't like them. Tim, what's your final mini issue for the month?
My final mini issue. Here's what I don't mini get. But I need that.
Yeah.
I ran into a problem. I was working on some of my music and I was mixing.
Wicca.
It was in the last stage of, not mixing, mastering. I was mastering, which I really... I was doing a deep dive into it. I really hadn't messed much with mastering before because I usually mix on the fly.
Yeah.
And I really haven't had the need to do before, but I wanted to, you know, start getting a hold on it, right?
Yeah.
Getting everything at the LUFS.
Yeah.
You know what LUFS is?
No.
It's the new way of gauging loudness. Mm-hmm. Not new way. It's fairly new, I guess. There's a difference between like your dB meter and the actual perceived loudness of music. Anyways, it's a mastering thing. I was trying to get everything. And so you have Reaper up right now and you have multiple tracks going.
Yeah.
I had multiple tracks.
Yeah.
Cause I just loaded each song into a different track.
Yeah.
Instead of having to like, I'm working on this one. Do all because I'm a being stuff, right?
Yes.
So now I assume in here in Reaper you have a thing where you can go like file, export each track as its own audio file.
Yes. Well, since we're recording it, auto saves. But yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Sure. So
do you export a thing that's all just all your songs at once?
I did accidentally do that, but.
Bonus track.
I did.
Just
do that.
Send that. Just send that track right over to the CIA. Start playing this in Gitmo.
Uh huh. But then I found the like, okay, file export each audio track as its own export each track as its own individual audio file.
Yeah.
Sweet. Click that. Check all the options. Start. Wait for that bar to fill. All right, let me go to the folder where I put it. And there's nothing there. Well, okay, let me check this folder. Did it go into this folder? Did it go into the default folder? I can't find anything. Maybe something happened. Well, let me do it again. Export. Wait for that bar to fill up. Again, nothing. Like, there's no files.
Yeah.
No files being produced.
It's like you just hit a button to watch a video of a bar filling up.
Exactly. And have it tax my CPU to 100%. So what is going on? So I Google the thing and I'm like, am I using this wrong? And so I find someone else having this exact same problem, but they figured out that all the files are going straight to the recycle bin. Sorry, the trash. This is on Mac. And
that filing thing you wanted, get the fuck out of here.
They're going straight to the trash, and they're only four. Every single one, no matter what you do, is 4 kilobytes.
So it is just it's Bitcoin mining. That's what your computer's doing. It's like, yeah, I'd like to Bitcoin mine for a moment. That's what's happening.
So clearly something is wrong, and people are trying to help him, and the guy's like, oh, here's the runner, here's the answer, here's your runaround. Just uncheck include volume and pin automation. That fixes this whole problem that still has been fixed in the current version of Logic. But I need that.
Yeah.
If I didn't need that, I wouldn't have this problem. I need that. And the guy's like, yeah, well, the original guy's like, okay, sure, but I need that. And the guy's like, well, I guess you're shit out of luck. thanks, buddy. So I had to do the painstaking thing of, okay, export project, or go to track one, solo it, make sure the audio track is highlighted, file, export entire project, option, change the options, rename the file.
Yeah.
Export it, wait for the bar to fill up.
And go track by track, muting and unmuting every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if you had done to begin with, same amount of time?
Same amount of time, probably. Oh,
God. That's obnoxious.
Yeah.
I don't understand how something, an oversight like that, can just be completely missed.
Yeah.
Like, you are missing the whole point of the software.
yeah Well, because then someone else was like, hey, you know, what worked for me was saving, closing Logic, opening back up, opening the project back up, and then doing it. That I did that two three times, and it didn't do anything. Yeah, it was just really teeing me off.
It would tee me off too. So spacebar seems to
cycle through.
Yeah, but it cycles backwards, and now it's not doing it. But there's no way to make spacebar not do that.
Okay, but I need spacebar to not do that.
Yeah, exactly. we're having this happen right now. God, I don't understand. My dad was working on this drum kit that's behind me this weekend.
Yeah.
And the drum kit is by the brain is by Alesis, right?
The old brain. Yeah. He's using his old brain.
No, he's using the new brain.
Oh, he's using the new brain.
Not the brain that came with the drums. Oh, but he bought another a new brain.
That's right.
So he bought the one that has some weird goofy connector. Oh, you have to go into MIDI into it using a USB to MIDI adapter. It doesn't have a direct USB port, but you can control it from the computer, right?
Okay.
And they made a software for to be able to control this brain.
Sure.
From your computer, right?
Yeah. Okay.
When it came out.
To control it, not just to go
To go in and edit the kits and edit the names and rearrange stuff and say, like, okay, I want you know, I don't, I want this Latin kit. Instead, I want it to have this, I want the rock just, snare all yes, the time.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. It's all, that's all happening.
Not just getting the audio,
yeah. But,
or getting the MIDI.
But, yeah. but being able to, rather than go in there with the encoder and like, you have to come over here and hit a trigger.
Yeah.
And then on the encoder, change that thing and then yes. save to this preset. Yeah. Do that all, you can do that all through the software, right?
Cool.
Except they took the software down. They don't offer it anymore.
As if
like the brain went bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh no, brain don't work no more. What do you mean brain don't work no more? I have the brain. I need that software. Oh yeah, yeah, we don't have it anymore. Like, one of you guys has it on a server somewhere.
Yeah.
Just put a link on the goddamn website.
That's so weird.
You need to spend $1,000 on the new brain that works with the new software. Yeah, what happens when that's the 10-year-old brain and you just stop offering that software?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Leave the software up forever. I can still download software to interface with the Yamaha LS9. Piece of shit console.
Yeah.
They're fucking nowhere. Nobody's got them anymore. But every so often you walk into a venue and they're like, oh yeah, we still have an LS9. Like, what year is it? Buy a new console for the love of God. And you go, well, it's a good thing I can download LS9 editor still and convert all this shit into LS9 and then check it on my computer, make sure it's all right. So I don't have to use this awful little fucking claw hand that I get when I work on the LS9 for too long, where my thumb is rolling the encoder and my fingers are rapidly clicking these little buttons. I get really fast after if I work on one for like a couple of hours, but for the first few minutes I'm real slow, but then I get back into my little claw. Write this and I type that and touch your mom and right in the kisser. I need your software to be available for the rest of time. That's what I need. As long as when you pull a George Lucas and capture every fucking version of this hardware on the planet and put it in a landfill like E.T., then you can delete the software off your website.
Yeah.
Until then, it costs nothing. It costs nothing for it to just sit on the server and take up 56K of space.
Yeah.
You fucks. Fix the bugs. If I need to export audio and I need to, no matter how I want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because like every so often, I imagine that would be helpful, right? If say we recorded it on your computer, but I edited it on my computer.
Yeah.
Right. And we had a situation where you clicked a button and accidentally stopped the track in the middle of recording
exactly.
for no fucking reason.
Yeah. That would never happen.
That would never happen.
No.
You could then go in and instead of giving me like 6 tracks,
yeah,
you say, I only want 3 tracks. I'm just going to go in and export all of these, every track as one whole audio file so that I can go in and then just clip it down however I need instead of having to import all the stuff into my editor. That's a common thing that people did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just, okay, we did all this recording session. Now I'd like my masters, my own track masters.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here you go.
It's not like the option I needed was like it's one of like the 3 options when you bring that menu up.
Yeah.
Is include this or not. And it's volume and pan automation, which I don't know if DAWs have that.
Yeah.
But Logix is super easy and visually
it's
incredibly simple.
Curve where you curve it up when you,
I mean, it's literally a, like it's a, like volume, let's go volume. Volume's at 0 dB.
Yeah.
Usually default 0 dB, and you just put automation points like you would keyframes in a video editor.
Yeah.
And you can move those however
Audition
you want.
Audition does the same thing.
Yeah.
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 yeah. And then vis-a-vis the same thing with left
pan.
And right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So instead of having to like, okay, let me replay this and then like record my pan motions. Right.
Yeah. I'm just going to take this one track or something that I'm I've started in the center because it's the feature.
Yes.
But then as things build.
And I know the exact point in the waveform. This needs to be fully a 100% panned. Click zero, click center, click
left.
Left.
Yeah. Boom, and it, done.
Boom, done.
Yeah. Man. That I would get it. I would get it right. You click that drop down menu.
Yeah.
And there's no, hey, this is saying there's no option for export with this feature. Like, oh, it doesn't have that feature.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I need that, but
I guess I'll just do it the other way.
I guess I'll just do it the other way. But the button's there.
Yes.
And you push the button and your computer's like, your computer goes, it's sitting down on the toilet and it's just going like, and then it turns around, and there's like a little rabbit pellet there in the toilet. It's like, what the fuck is this? Am I having a health problem? Well, I guess I'll go again. That's what your computer's doing.
Yeah.
It's doing the thing, the mechanical equivalent.
It's garbage day.
Do I have some kind of disease? I just need the basic features of your software. Yeah. I would be hard pressed not to throw the computer through a window. At that point. You can always download Pro Tools. I'm sure it has that option for $1,400 a year.
Yeah.
Fucking
also, while having a physical iLock plugged in.
Yeah, plugged in all the time and hope that doesn't just kind of crap out at literally any moment.
Yeah.
And then you can't recover any of the data off of it because you had to make some weirdly unique password for your iLock account.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah, it has
which
to
is
be.
Which is different than your digital iLock password.
Exactly. Yeah. Has to be 25 characters long. It has to have 3 uppercase, 3 lowercase, 7 numbers in it. It has to have 2 symbols. It has to have something that's not even available on your natural keyboard. It can't have your name. It can't have any numbers that add up to a prime number. It can't have any letters in the same. It can't have more than, it can't have 2 vowels in a row. Can't have more than 3 consonants in a row. It's like, what must, are all these rules?
And must be translatable into Cyrillic.
And it must never be, and cannot be the same as any other user's unique password.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just give me the password at that point.
Yeah, you give me one and I'll write it down and I'll put it in the post office and I'll just keep mailing it to myself for the rest of the time. My iLock password's here. Let me just go ahead and slap another fucking stamp on there and throw it out. Yeah, okay, we'll send you your password again, but you're going to just send us an anal swab, 3 forms of ID, a blood test, a written affidavit from your mother, 3 references, a picture of your computer, the hard drive to your computer, and also one of your fingers. We will accept a tell, but only on the first attempt. If you've already done this before, it's got to be a finger. You know what? I'll just fucking not.
I don't care.
No. I'm gonna become a drywaller. Well, that's it. That's all. Are you here to say something? My cat decided to join us suddenly. Yep. Well, that's it. That's all we have for this
week. Here's what I don't get. Treats. I don't get any treats, dumbass. Give me some treats.
At least he didn't get punched in the head. The other cat got punched in the head this morning. Well, this is it. Our monthly mini-sode. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the show. Be sure to, join us in the Discord. Chat in the Discord. They've been doing movie night in the Discord. It's been a lot of fun. I joined
them. Yeah, they've been doing movie night. What did you guys watch?
Extro.
Yeah, is that?
They did a best of the worst about it. Like, best of the worst episode 4.
It's like E.T.? Kind of,
yeah, but fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a movie where they filmed a bunch of weird stuff while high, and then they watched their dailies not high and went, what the fuck? And then they got high again and they edited.
Sure.
But the guy just like pulled out his shots, right? And then he's like, I'll tape these later. And he's kind of had them all laid out on the desk.
Yeah.
And then someone closed the door too fast and then kind of got blown around. He's like, oh God, I got to put all these back in the movie. So he just kind of, it's like, that's the same scene. Let's go ahead and slap that fucker in there. That's how they made a movie. Huh. I don't know. It was entertaining though. So anyway, join the Discord. That's not us doing that either. That's other fans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Catch you guys next time.